David. They're coming. Okay. There he is. There's the man.
It's all right to have Lily of the Valley church up there in my name because it's going to be different from the Lord.
It's going to check you out.
We're also a member of the church. This is going to be church.
What's going on right now? Are you on yet?
Embarrass myself. And I was walking out the door. One of these days, I'm going to learn to listen to the Spirit. As I was walking out the door, I passed by, I have a what I call an on-the-run base. This headless is on the doctor there. And Spirit said, why don't you just take the on-the-run base? I said, I ain't going down there. So I have to ask the Lord to forgive me. I want to, I read Bishop Thorne's book. Are we through yet? Good now? Okay.
Turn it off, Bishop. On the side.
Oh, keep that one.
Just a second. I was looking at it, and I said, well, it's on the side. Just got to be smarter than a butler, right? I read Bishop Thorne's book, so I know all of you know. If you don't know what God expects us to do in eternity, you have no excuse for that.
Right? Amen.
I didn't even have to look it up and research it. It was presented to me in detail. But getting back to about Genesis, the first chapter, and before, when you read Ezekiel and you read those books, you find out, and someone might say this, and so listen to this, so hear me out before you switch me and turn me off. Believe it or not, God has a problem. And part of the problem is us. I didn't say that God had a problem that he couldn't fix. He absolutely can fix it. And is going to. Working on fixing it now.
Come on.
But he does have a problem. And you have to make up your mind whether you're going to continue to be part of God's problem or whether or not you're going to be part of God's solution.
Amen.
Because God has a solution, and Paul talks about it, and it's kind of one of the things that he does. He says, I was caught up to third heaven, and I was given a revelation, and he says, and in this, I was shown, and he says, I found out, and it was revealed to me the answer to a mystery of how God is going to use us. And this is when he wrote, behold, we shall all sleep, but we shall be changed. So in this problem that God has, and it started all the way back when Satan fell a long time ago in the pre-antediluvian period, in the diluvian period, I'm sorry. And at that time, Satan rebelled, and a third of heaven, you know, just walked off the job. And then came down, and it's understandable how he did it, because he was responsible for this planet. And this is why when we preach and when we teach, we have to be careful. It's not your fault, it is ours. That we don't let you make us, when we preach the word of God, we have to know when to not let ourselves get carried away and start thinking we are God.
Right. That's right. Amen.
And I can't imagine Bishop Bruner. You know, you've had pastoral appreciations, and I've had some larger than others, smaller than others. But they had gotten to the point with Satan, I suspect, with Lucifer, I suspect, I suspect, he was supposed to say to them when they got carried away too far, that's too much.
Yes.
But he started loving.
Uh-huh.
Then he started believing his own hype.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He went to the planet heaven.
Uh-huh.
Say, heaven, a planet, of course it is. Earth is a pattern after heaven. Earth is a planet, heaven is a planet.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Ellis Smith, don't let me start diverging into things, because I can tell you, so somebody says, well, I'm not sure about that, Bishop. But I'll tell you, this is why Moses told them, God told Moses. He said, see, when you make this temple and do all these things, make sure you make it exactly like I told you.
Yes.
Because everything in it represents something that is real.
Right.
Yes.
And if you change any of it, It's not like what is real.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it. That's good, Bishop. That's good.
You know Pastor Bruner. You know who he is. You know what he looks like. You know his wife. You know what she looks like. If I walked in here and told you, well, I use myself because all of you never seen me. Now that you've seen me and you've seen my life fall in my life, 45 years. Now, no one can walk in and tell you I'm 7'1". No one can tell you that I'm any shade or whatever, because you know what I look like. I'm real. But until then, when Bishop Bruner talked about me, then you filled in the details with your imagination. And so, in your imagination, you could make me as tall as you wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. Depending on how he described me, as shorter, I know Elder Plummer, Pastor Plummer. I know Brother Marcus, Pastor Marcus. They know what I look like. They know the real me. But everyone else, your imagination plays a part. And so they describe you to me. They describe me to you. And you trust that what they're describing is true. But yet, you're depending on what they said about me. So, if they're not accurate in what they say, they can make you believe that I look and sound to be something other than what I am. Idolatry. When you don't know the true God, you ascribe to him whatever comes to your mind. But when you read the Word of God, we're getting as much detail about God as we can get, so that our picture of God is real. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and since he knows God is God, with God the Father, with God the Son, he is the one who says whether what we believe of God or see in God is right or not right. And he uses a proof, and it's the Word of God. So that if someone says that our God doesn't really exist in a real divine body and has hands and fingers and toes,
go ahead,
we can say, then you don't have the God I have. Let me tell you something.
Talk about it.
Don't ever argue with anyone about God. I learned a long time ago. I was in this job, and I won't say what they were and where they were, but they didn't believe like we believe. And someone said to me, God, you know, I don't know what Bishop, but I want you to see. Someone said to me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have all my spirit wives.
Oh, you know that's wrong.
You know who that is.
Yes.
So when my wife divorced me, but when I get to heaven, she's going to still have to be my spirit. My wife. And he said it was in Jesus Christ. So someone else said to me, we were going to TDY, he said, you know, I sure would like to be in a car with two of you, because I can imagine what this discussion is going to be like. So they're not going to be a discussion. We just don't have the same God.
Amen.
You see, you'd like to convince me that your God is my God, but if your God doesn't look like my God, then we obviously just don't have the same God. We don't have to argue about it.
No.
You don't have to try to convince me. We just don't, you know, if you have a mediator that's other than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we don't have the same.
We don't have
the same. If you know, and we can stop. I don't have to go all day long trying to show you why your God isn't real. We just don't have the same God. Now, here's the penalty. You have to go to whatever eternity your God provides.
You got that right.
That's what that's
about. Hey! Talk about it!
You have to go to whatever eternity your God says. Well, let's say, well, you know, as Paul says, we know they talk about many gods, but there are no gods. Well, that's their problem. Mm-hmm. And they become part of God's problem. that he's going to fix. I want to look at some scriptures, and I promise not to be long. And I stuck some sticky notes in here because I'm so disorganized. I told the young man who's doing the audio this morning. I said, you know, I hope you can keep up because I'm all over the place. But I do want to do a couple, and one of them I want to look at. Now I'll give you some of them, and then you can try to turn to them as we come to what's all for this one. Two parts to this message. One of them is, let me set the scene and then I can go quick about it. One of them you already have, because Bishop Bruner preaches and teaches all the time about what eternal life is like, so you know that. But you have a job in God that we talk about all the time. If you think about it, it's a two-part. You have the responsibilities and the jobs and the things that God is going to do with us in eternity, but you have a job now. And this portion now, if it wasn't that I had the responsibility to convince people about God by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, who in here would not have loved that when God saved them, they immediately went to heaven and got their new body? Who wouldn't like that? But then Abel would have went, never been nobody to tell me about God.
That's right, yeah.
Amen.
Someone had to say, I was listening to the pastor this morning, the Jews are a nation of priests. In other words, they know the true God, as he told the woman at the well, and they had the responsibility for telling everybody else about the true God. They didn't do all they were supposed to do. So when people say that Jews are God's chosen people, it never at any time meant they were the only ones that were supposed to be saved. They were chosen to preach and teach the gospel to everyone else, so everyone else came to know the true God. You see, while everybody else was doing birds and frogs and cows and all those things,
preach!
Enoch had already seen God. And Abraham had already seen God. And I love it when it says God came down to the mountain and Moses went up. They had seen the God of Israel.
Come on.
So you couldn't tell them that God had eight arms. Because they had seen God. You couldn't tell them that this building is not tall enough. It needs to be 60 feet high because God is this big, because Abraham had walked with God, through God.
Come on.
And he fit in Abraham's tent.
Talk about it.
And so God, through the Word of God that was handed down, and he explained to us this morning so well when it was written. I was interested in that. I mean, I'm somewhat of an academician. I like to know what I'm talking about. And God, through the Word of God, to ensure that everybody believed that it was the true God, also in the second person in the Trinity, third person, put them where you want, they're all equal, use the manifestation or the move or the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when the Word of God was given, you knew it was the true God because you saw His power. Makes me wonder, how do you backslide in the wilderness when you have the Red Sea party?
My Lord.
And you walk through on dry land.
Yeah.
And you turn around after 3 days. But then again, you know how we are. God can lead us and guide us and do all those things and carry us through and carry us and lift us and heal us and bring us out. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Until it looks like there's something we want and He doesn't show up soon enough.
Well,
then we start to say, and if you've ever said, well, I've never, since I've been saved, I've I've never sensed the presence of an evil spirit. If you've ever doubted, you did.
Yes.
Because they come and they tell you, so what is thou? Trust me, Paul, I'm not getting too close. Doubt, and as soon as I know we're doubting. Doubt comes in when you ask God to do something and you rehearse in your mind what will happen if he doesn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You want me to tell you again?
Yes. Say it again.
Doubt comes in when you ask God for a job. He's your advantage. Lord, I really want this job. This is the job of all jobs. I need it. Saints praying for us on the prayer board. We're calling out in prayer. We name it, claim it, doing everything we can do with it. And then you go home and says, well, if it doesn't happen, how am I going to pay my bills? But you just ask God. So when you sit down and start figuring out how things won't work if God doesn't come through in a very nice way, that's a little doubt. It's okay. We all do it. Just don't turn around and stop serving God. You're not, you know, but the reason why I say it is because so we can identify when we probably need to pray a little deeper and say, Father, help thou my unbelief, because we have it. We're working. The Jews are preaching and teaching and supposed to, as Jesus tells them in John 4 and the bishop on this morning, when he tells the woman at the well, we know who God is. Salvation is of the Jews. We know the way because God is going to use us. And I need to use some scriptures and then I can just talk for a moment, then I'll be done. I need to look at Ephesians 1. If you'll find that, stick something in your Bible. If you look in 2 Thessalonians, sounds like in the bishop's office, sticking notes in mine. If you look at Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, you write them down, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, if I can do this and end up in Genesis, the 18th chapter, without you, if I don't go through these scriptures, promise me you'll use them as homework and you go home and look them up and I'll tell you about them. And I don't mind going, it's just that it can get long. In a seminar, you can go through all these. In a sermon, it's more inspiration, so I'm going to cut through them. In the earth, because sin is in the earth, even in the time we live in now, which we consider a troubled time. I was telling Bishop Bruin one thing that someone said to me one time. They said they were praying to God and they were in a desperate situation. And the Spirit told them either Jesus will come, either the situation will work out or Jesus will come. You need to make up in your mind everything you're going through. Either God's going to fix it or God's going to come. In the world that we live in right now, and I see all kinds of people, and they're saying, we seem to, my daughter and I talk about it, and they talk about the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And people are worried about the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And some preachers are preparing their people for the tribulation. And my daughter and I were talking about it, and we said, well, we know who's going to go through the tribulations. So who? The people who are preparing for it.
Yes.
I'm not going to be here.
Hallelujah!
I'll say this, and then Bishop Bruner can tell me when he gets home I was wrong, and I'll be all right with it. And I'm not worried about receiving the mark of the beast. I won't be here.
You won't be here.
I'm not worried about getting a chip other than in my credit card, and my wife is not a devil.
Come on now.
So, you know, we have credit cards, but, you know, that ain't the one. I'm not worried about all the things and the signs that they have when they talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna read through some scriptures, and then in about 10 minutes after I do that, I'll be done.
Yeah.
One of them is in 2 Thessalonians 5 and 9, I read on the paper. Oh, that's still, well, Second Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not appointed you us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, I'm not supposed to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
I have salvation.
Yes.
Salvation, as Watchman Nee says, is not just being saved. It's not just is not only having eternal life, but it means being saved from the wrath that is to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's another one. And it's in 1 Thessalonians. Let's see what else I got in here.
Well, this is good.
I can read my own notes. It's in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says in my notes. Let me see if that's it. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. Start at 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Mm-hmm. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And what he's saying, and this is kind of difficult language to understand, but we'll talk about it. He's saying that God is going to keep on keeping us and keep on seeing us through and allowing us to live. He says the devil's here to destroy us already, but he's not going to let it happen. As long as there's someone here who glorifies God.
Yes. That's it.
Now, I need to take you to another scripture in Ephesians.
That's
good. And I'm going to put it all together in a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get this over. You remember I told you
take your time,
problem is with sin and the devil and sin in us and sinful deeds and so forth. And the earth, as it talks about the Romans, that's travailing.
Uh-huh.
The problem. That's not what God wanted.
That's right.
God has a solution to it. And what he's going to bring us to eventually, I'll go to Ephesians. And he says in Ephesians and chapter 1 and 9, "To make known the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure of which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times," in the dispensation of the fullness of times,
yeah,
"he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, and even in him." And Bishop Bruner's book talks about this. This is where we're headed.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians, it says that he'll be all in it, all in it, and all things will be in God.
Yeah.
Talks about that. We will be, there will be a time when God will establish his kingdom like he planned on doing it in the beginning.
Yes.
And everything will be in place like it's supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
In the beginning.
Yes.
But he's raising us up because he has positions. I don't need a crown if I'm not going to rule and reign with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on now.
Well,
talk about it.
They have part in the first resurrection, on whom the second death
will
power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him.
Come on, talk about it.
And on. So he has, as he says in Jeremiah, an expected end.
Yeah.
And I hear people talk all the time about God is going to bring you to your expected end. My expected end is not my earthly blessings. My earthly blessings simply remind me that God has an expected end. I'm supposed to look at how he healed me and believe that he has an expected end. And that expected end is in the dispensation of time.
Come on.
We will rule and reign with him. But we can't go yet.
That's a shame.
You know, as a church of people, and
come on now,
God has something for us to do before that time.
Yeah. Mm.
That is, you're supposed to let people know that the true God sits on the throne.
Yeah.
I told the same thing, promise. I said, you know what? You might not walk in every morning. Because I've been around Robbie for a long time. We've been knowing each other for a long time. He'll tell you. You know, when the people say to me, "How you doing?" I say, "Fine." I don't ever say supernatural or anything else. There's going to be a time when I'm going to be supernatural. I'm going to fall back out of it. And if you do, that's fine. You say blessed and highly favored, no problem.
No problem.
But if you don't say that,
yeah,
maybe you're a little shy or whatever, don't let anybody say, you're ashamed of God. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just introverted. You might never be, Pastor Plummer, someone who preaches from your desk. Don't do that. They're paying you. Do what you're supposed to do.
That's
when you're
right.
supposed to do it.
Yes.
Therein you glorify God.
Hallelujah.
But when they find out that you go to church, they ought not be surprised. Somebody said, well, you know, he's a deacon in this church. And they say, what? They ought not. They should say, well, you know, I kind of suspected. You know, you don't have to wear a sign. But they need to be able to say, well, he's a preacher. They say, well, I don't know. The preacher says, he never told me. I should have. And then they'll say, well, but I kind of suspected.
Yeah.
I knew there was something different. And I haven't seen his credentials, but I knew he wasn't like everybody else in here.
Yeah.
You should at least be someone that when they find out that you go to church, they don't say, I have never suspected that. You saw him in the choir? My God. What kind of church they got down here? Some people don't do that. They watch you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to preach a sermon when you're supposed to be doing something else.
Uh-huh. Talk about it.
You'll be like Peter on a good day. Your speech will betray you.
Yeah.
Your way. There's a way about us. It goes beyond our clothing.
Yes.
It goes beyond what we look like. Well, you know how we... there's a way that we have. And if the way you handle anger looks like the way they handle anger, ask God to deliver you.
Yeah.
And if the words that come out of your mouth, God forbid, are the same as the words that come out of their mouth and they're upset, ask the Lord to. Don't say, well, I must not be. No, just say, you know, I'm a work in progress. And, you know, now don't be a work in progress forever. But, say, I'm a work in progress. And I need the Lord to really. Because, why do you think God let them draw you out?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't for them to see you, it's for you to see you.
All right.
So say, you know what? I told him about Bishop Lee on the basketball court. He said, I got too angry. And I'm not going back. It's for God to say, you know what? I threw a cup at my husband today. That's too much. We can't afford the crystal. And God knows I'm glad I didn't hit him. I need to do something else. And you know what God will do? God will not say that he wasn't wrong. God will simply show you the portion where you were wrong. Because you cannot repent for him. But you sure can repent for yourself.
Talk about it!
And then we get to the last scripture before I go to my Old Testament text. And when I get to that one, you know, we're about done. In my Old Testament text, and I'm cutting out some of the scriptures because I'm getting long now. I want you to read in Ephesians chapter 6 or 5. It's in 5. And I'm going to wrap it up from there, and I'll give you the rest of the scriptures you can read at home. It's chapter 5. Talking about us. And it talks about husbands and wives, but that's not the point I'm on today. I want to look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. And this is part of this end time. This is saying the relationship that Jesus has with us, although it's referring to husbands and wives. Talking about Jesus, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And then you go and read so ought men about their wives, but I want you to see how Jesus feels about the church, that he might present it to himself, because we have this word, this work in the dispensation of times that he's going to have to bring these people into. He's got to bring us in, and he's going to present it. And when he says a glorious church, he's not referring to Living Waters or Promise or Little Valley or any of these churches in particular. We're simply tools that God uses. He has a glorious church that when you read in Revelation, the 20th chapter, he has a glorious church, and that church consists of everybody anywhere in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, and those people are identified, as it says in Ephesians, the Holy Ghost has sealed them, and they're identified because their names are written in the book of life.
That's right.
When anytime the Bible refers to a glorious church, and I think the reason why I want to say that is because sometimes I was talking to the pastor this morning, sometimes when people preach about, we got to get this church right because we're going to come back for a glorious church. You can get right or not get right. I'm going up.
I know that's right. Okay. Okay. All right.
If we all get right, yeah, which is what I'm hoping we're all going to do.
Yes.
But when I go up, I love my wife, and she'll tell you in a heartbeat when Jesus comes back. She'll say, I love my husband. If he don't go, there's food in the refrigerator. You can watch Cabin in the Sky all you want to without playing Blue Joe. That ain't gonna happen. One, you're not gonna have time. Because you're gonna be changed in a moment that's within a mile. And God knows exactly what he's doing, because every one of us, here's Marcus who has these kids who've grown up and they're doing so well, and I got kids and grandkids and everything. And if God gave you time to think about it, if all of them are saved, not a problem. But if any of them are not, you would probably say, but if I go now, who's going to preach the gospel for them? If I leave now, I've been praying for my son forever, and seems like he's never, maybe this revival will be just what he needs, but he's going to need someone. And you would tell God, well, you know, Lord, I love you and everything, but I, you know, just let me, give me a minute.
No.
And then some of us, if we knew when God was coming, we'd say, God is coming at 8:16 Sunday morning, and you'd be here at 8:18.
Wow.
And then you put a scripture on, God's a gracious God, he's all suffering.
Oh yeah, they do.
I know he's waiting for me. They done waited for me for 50 years, 2 minutes ain't gonna matter. So he's just gonna change us.
Yes.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And don't worry. Don't worry. I had to get through this. I've heard people preach so many times. What if the Holy Ghost come back and you and Paul are fighting in the middle of it? You won't go. That's not true. His grace is sufficient for me.
Yes.
He knows that when we get around to it, we're going to repent.
Yes.
He knows. You know, you don't know what situation you'll be in. You know, one of the things that draws me out, and Paul stays on me and she's right about, you know, you draw me out. When my light turns gray, you go. Yes. So he's going to present us a glorious church, and this is where preachers like me and Bishop Bruner and all the pastors in the Gulf Coast and Church of the God and every other church there is. This is something we have to come to, that when the glorious church is not from a 716 Ed Street, Fort Walton Beach, it's all the people whose name is written in the land. Now, in the interim, while we're waiting, because he's going to put them all rebellion and do all those things, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, you're going to read that too. He talks about us being the salt of the earth. We're the preservers.
Yeah.
And it's because of us, as he says, when we are taking out, you think it's bad now? Wait to all those who are in the
land of life. You know that's right. You're right.
You think it's bad now?
Mm.
And then I want you to know, too, not one person in whom the Holy Ghost dwells will be left.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen. Thank you.
So, well, who will preach then? All the people who, when they heard about the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ, they accepted it as being a logical fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can deal with that. That's good. Mm-hmm. I can deal with that. That's good. But when the Holy Ghost spoke to them about forgiving people, they explained to the Holy Ghost why they could not. Mm-hmm. And when the Spirit told them, because what the Spirit had to separate me from, because he found out it was too deep in my affections, maybe it was never in your affections to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wanted to know, and he decided to say, well, did he make you perfect? I'm not perfect now, but I've obeyed God. I have obeyed God enough for the maturity that I have and where I am and my place in God, that God is satisfied with me, and I have to keep him like that. I said, well, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I mean, I can, you can still probably draw me out. The difference is I know what to do with it.
Exactly. That's right.
I know how, the song says, I know how to go to God in prayer. Yes. And as you grow more in God, the urgency becomes greater.
Right.
That when things happen in your life, you hurry up. I was getting ready. I was in England. I was at Bentwaters. It was closing. I got orders to Grand Forks. I mean, back to South Dakota. I just come from there. I said, I don't want to go back there. And the assignment guy called me. He said, hey, look, you got to come over and sign for this assignment. And I said, Lord. And they said, well, we got an opening at Ramstein. And my commander said, he said, Charlie, that's what he called me. He said, did you hear from Ramstein yet? I said, no, they didn't call me back. He said, well, assignment, so you got to come over and sign for this assignment today. In our building, we had a loft space. I got up from my desk. I ran upstairs to the loft space. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you got to do something now. I don't have all, I said, I don't have all this now.
Hey, fix it.
This is true.
No.
By the time I came back, Robbie, downstairs, the major walked into my office. He said, hey, I just got the phone from Ramstein. You've been picked up. God could have given me the assignment 2 weeks before. He wanted to know if I was going to hold on.
Yeah.
And in the last minute, if I was going to throw up my hand and say, oh, well, or was I going to run to God? It was urgent.
Yes.
He did that, so I keep telling people that God hears and answers prayers.
Yes.
So they'd be part of this glorious church that's going to do this work in the dispensation to come.
Yes.
That he's going to use, which is who we are.
Yes.
Last scripture. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. While you're turning now. So we have God is going to use us throughout the dispensations to come, throughout the ages. And he's choosing the people who were born in sin and allowed him and worked with him in the Word and the Holy Spirit so that he was able to set them free from sin and forgive their sins and fill them with the Spirit, and they would obey.
Yes.
Such that he could keep them clean. We are kept by his power divine.
Yes.
There is another set of people who would say that when you're saved, you're always saved. Mm-hmm. If that was the truth, then you only need to come to church one time.
That's right.
If you continue, he says.
Yes.
In another place, he says he'd have no pleasure in them that draw back.
Yes.
And I love the one in Hebrews 4:1. You got to read that one. He says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, some of you would come short of it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
But he's right now, I'm not worried about, I'm civic minded. Me and Pastor Bruno had a discussion about that, and I had to go repent. I don't know if he did or not. But I'm civic minded. And I vote. But ultimately, my joy and my concern is the person who keeps me, God.
Amen.
My strong tower, my house, my rock of defense, my buckler, my shield,
yes,
who is who keeps me. And it doesn't matter to me who lives on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I know who keeps me.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
That's where I am. And I have this assurance. And for the organist, the reason why you have the scripture that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There hath no trial taken you except for Bishop Bruno and all the rest of us have gone through. Maybe we haven't gone through your particular one, but somebody else has. And God is faithful and will not allow them to be tempted more than they're able, but will make a way to escape that they may be able to bear it or go through it. So no matter how bad things get, as long as you have God, the Lord is going to see you through. You must never stop trusting God. And if you find yourself in a situation where you stop trusting God for a minute, when you come to yourself, come back to God. And the sooner the better. And I'll tell you about God's personality. Here I go, Paul. If you ever want to see God's personality towards every one of us, you need to read the prodigal son. Don't look at the son, look at the father.
Uh-huh.
He, by the time this son goes out and is starved and anorexic and about to die, no nutrients, and walks back home poor and broke, that's how we came to the Lord, and had nothing else, the father didn't sit there and say, well, he walked out of this door, I'm going to stand in this door until he gets back. He probably looked down that road every day because that's how long he watched him go out of his sight. And he looked down that road every day, and when he caught sight of someone as bad as he looked, who looked like his son, he didn't wait and say, well, he left me, I'm going to wait till he crawled. He took off and went out there to get to him as soon as he could, because he didn't have much strength left. So the father went out there, picked him up, fell on his neck, you hadn't eaten, and brought him back to the house and put him back in a status that he was supposed to be in his father's house. And he didn't wait till the son, and then the son, after he's eaten, says, father, I don't deserve to be here. But he went, he's looking. God was looking for me. David knew that. He said, seek for thy servant. When I get off, find me. That's the personality of God. So if you ever find yourself starving, something takes you out of the father's house, God's still looking for you.
All right.
And if you can just get close enough, as the woman said, to touch the hem of his garment, he'll bring you on back. And you'll be all right. But you got to make up your mind. I'm going to be part of this glorious church that's going to be caught up without spot, without wrinkle. And the spot and the wrinkle is not this building. The spot and the wrinkle are people. You got to make up your mind, I'm not going to be a spot. And I'm not going to cause a wrinkle. When Jesus comes, I'm not going to be a spot. If you have spots, you become a spot. And the blood cleanses me from all the spots. I'm not going to give the pastor a hard time because strife causes wrinkles. And I'm not going to be a wrinkle. Because when this glorious church goes, you know, you press about spot wrinkle like it's some abstract thing that God's looking for. And you can't put your finger on it. Yes, you can. If I'm the spot, you can put your finger on me because I'll be sitting here when you go up. But I'm not going to be a spot. When he comes back from his glory, I'm going up. I'm almost done. So why aren't we there already? Why are we there already? Well, because the church is what holds the devil back.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' glorious church holds the devil back. I know Paul tells me every day she'd rather be with Jesus, and I don't have a problem with that. I told her a long time ago, if God was number one in her life, I don't mind being number two.
Amen.
But God has a number. It's not in my control. Not only does he have a number and a day and an hour, it's not a moving target.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear people say sometimes, God can't come yet because we haven't, God can come yet. Get out of that. God has a day and an hour, as Jesus said, no man knows the day or an hour, but my
Father.
And I suspect, Bishop Bruno, Jesus knows now too, because now that he's with God, all that the Father knows, he knows. We aren't holding God up.
No, we're not. Right.
You just have to decide whether you're going to be part of that solution.
That's right.
God's not waiting for any, and that's why people have this group thing about he's waiting for this church to get right. That church is right.
No.
Jesus is going to come back to his glorious church, whether your whole church is right. But we're priests of God and of Christ, and we're telling people of the goodness of God and the greatness of God. That's why Bishop wrote the book. He's telling people why you need God. And God has given us time. That's why when I fly and I'm going someplace, I'm banking everything on the plane, making it not because the plane is good and the pilot's good, but because God needs me to get where I'm going.
All right.
And I very well might be the only person on that he's holding it up for, but I know how God works. You in Genesis yet?
Yes.
I need to tell you. Do you need to read it? It's the 19th chapter. I'll tell you what he says.
Yeah.
He eases over by Abraham.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm getting ready to do something that everybody might not agree with.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down here to Sodom because I've heard how bad they are.
Uh-huh.
And I want to make sure of what I'm doing before I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever think that God's not sure of what he's doing. You know what I love about God? God, I was telling this the other day, God never speculates. He never deduces. He doesn't even have, even though we said, God does not have an opinion. God don't have an opinion?
No.
No. I have an opinion because opinions are based on how I perceive things,
mm-hmm.
my experiences, mm-hmm. what I know about them.
Mm-hmm.
I lump them all into a category, they become an opinion. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not.
Yes.
But God doesn't have an opinion because God knows.
That's right. He's sovereign.
He knows. The me that God sees is the real me. It doesn't matter what you see or what I see. You know, I was telling the prophets one day, I said, you know how it is when you take a picture and it's not flattering? And you say something like, well, you know, this is not a good picture. Oh, it's a good picture. That's just how you look. At that moment, you know, that's how you look. How God sees me, you know what you want to know? Lord, show me as you see me. Lord, let me see me when you see me. When you see me wrong, let me know speedily. So I can plead the blood. And not only, and I don't only want you to forgive me, because, you know, we always want God to fix our problems. I don't want God just to fix my problems. I want him to fix me. And the reason why some people don't come to God and ask him to fix their problems, because they know when they come to God, he's not satisfied just to fix my problem. He wants to fix me.
Yeah.
The reason why the problem came to begin with was so God could fix me. It's me he wants.
Yes.
It's not my car that will be the spot when Jesus comes. It's me.
Yes.
It's not my house that will be the rental. It's me.
Yes.
That's right.
I must be a part of this glorious church.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So God is coming down and he's wondering, since I go down here and do what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, how many people are going to say that? What kind of God would do that? But you know how we do it. Well, I stopped doing it, so I won't include me in that number. You can do the same things I stopped doing, and I ain't
doing it.
You know when somebody's preaching something that's not true? Lord, I have any problem saying, well, you know, I might be just coming up to
that. That's right.
That's right.
I had to learn that because if not, you'll go home wounded when you don't need to be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You'll go home discouraged when you want not to be.
Yes.
And I don't, you know, now let me stop right there on that. But God leans over because he's been hearing Abraham pray about someone that he knows, a personal prayer someone on Abraham's prayer board, his godson, his nephew, Lot. Mm-hmm. And God has chosen Abraham, as the bishop was saying this morning. He's going to give the gospel by the word and by the Holy Spirit to everyone. And if you're going to trust me with the lineage that Jesus Christ is going to come through, you ought to want to know whether or not I'm going to keep preaching the word in truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whether I'm going to veer off at some point.
Yeah.
And God says, I know Abraham because he will teach his children when
yes.
they come.
Yes.
Judgment and justice. Yes. So I can trust him to tell him what I'm going to do. In other words, when I reveal my plan to him, some people, that's why some people are preparing for the tribulation. They kind of feel like, well, what kind of God would let this happen or that happen or whatever. He says, when I tell Abraham how I feel about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to go down there and destroy him, will he understand? Or will he say, God, that's wrong? So Abraham, so he says, but I can tell him because Abraham's on my side.
Yeah.
And Abraham knows that whatever I do is right.
Right, yes.
He knows judgment and justice. He knows righteousness. And he's not going to believe that I'm a cruel God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he leans over Abraham. He says, I'm going to go down there. He says, Sodom and Gomorrah is so bad. I'm going to have to go down there and fix this problem.
Yeah. Yes.
He says, and they're beyond the point where I want to save the city.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham says something for Charles Smith that needed to be said. He said, if you find Charles Smith down there still serving you, will you keep the city?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He said, if I go down there and find Charles Smith and 45 people, I'll let all the sinners live.
Yes.
For the sake of Charles Smith and 30 people, I'll keep the city.
Yes.
Come on.
If Charles Smith and 9 others
yes.
are down there in the city, I would keep the whole city rather than destroy somebody who trusted me.
Yes.
You got to make up your mind when you're going through. Well, if nobody else on this plane is saved, I am.
Nice. Yeah, that's right.
If nobody else in this building is saved, I am.
Yeah.
Someone will say, well, didn't some saved people die in such and such and such and such? Well, you know, I'll leave that up to you. But he says, if I can find a Bible study, you know, it took 10 people to start a synagogue. He said, if I can find a Bible study, I'll spare the whole city. And if Lot and his brother, his son-in-laws and all of them had been doing what they were supposed to do, then God would have let all the sinners live for their sake. But since he only had about 8 people down there in Lot's family, and only 3 of those, 4 of those agreed, he says, well, since they're overwhelmed now, but before I destroy it, I'm going to take my people out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes.
Before the tribulation comes.
Yeah.
Taking
you
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah.
Before they start mandating the chip, I'm going to take my people
out of
here.
I had an exterminator come in. He walked in the door being deep. He said, you know, Pastor, one day they're going to take that Bible. I said, they might take yours, but I'm going to be about it. And I was serious when I said it. I mean, every word might take your Bible.
Uh-huh.
You might get locked up.
Yeah.
You might go through, but I'm going to be up out of here. Before all this starts, I said, well, how do you know you're going to do that? Because I'm going to be part of that glorious church. That's why he sweats out suit. The blood takes away the spot.
That's right.
Come on now.
The resurrection causes me not to have a wrinkle.
That's all right.
I've been born again. I was listening to the bishop when I came in, and he was explaining how you let things go. And I had a drinking problem that would beat the band. I was already playing bass, and I was in quite everything else. And I would say, but I had a problem because I'd always been taught you could just, you know, you can do that, you'd be all right. Until one day, Paula said to me, she said, you know, you take another drink, I'm going to tell Paris. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And I love Ron Davis.
Uh-huh.
You remember?
Yeah.
And I said to myself all day, can't drink anymore. All day long, can't drink anymore. You know how I felt? Don't know your name, but you know how I felt? I felt like somebody had died. And it had.
Yeah, the old man.
Bishop was saying the other day, you let it go. He says, it's like death. I said, that's exactly right. When you let it go, it dies.
Yes.
It's gone.
Gone.
And the new creature is resurrected.
Yes.
And new, so that when he comes back for this glorious church, you see, we're preaching and teaching now. Because we're holding back the tribulation and the Antichrist and all that will come in the end days on the earth. While we continue to witness and minister and say to someone, why don't you let the Lord do it? Someone can say, I got a hangnail, and you feel like that. Why don't you let the Lord heal you? They say, whatever they've got. And our answer is always, well, why don't you try God?
Why don't you try God?
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If you get too angry, try God. Yeah. If you haven't forgiven everybody, you need to forgive.
Try God.
And I am finishing now before time. Paul says, I'm on the third, I'm finishing, Paul, so I'm through. You know why you don't forgive? Because when people make you angry, you think they owe you something.
Yeah. That's
right. That's good. Here's a situation, don't know about it, not necessarily in here. You're a woman or a man. Your wife or your husband walks off and leaves you, treats you bad. You put time in them and effort in them. And you say, okay, I've forgiven them. I'm going on. I can speak amicably about them. But from time to time, you think about how bad they did you. And you've never been compensated for how bad they did you. You just obeyed God and forgave them. So you think. But when you really forgive people, so you feel like they owe you an apology, they owe you for what you've invested in them, they owe you for your time, they owe you for your hard work, they owe you, owe you, owe you. You know how much I owe God? And when he forgave me, the debt was paid. And then it goes through. When you make up your mind about that husband or that wife, they don't owe me anything. How you doing? Glad to see you. You don't owe me nothing. And the devil said, why don't you cry? I said, cry over what? The debt is forgiven. They don't owe me anything. My sister did me dirty. My mom died. She went in the house, took everything. Okay. Forgive the debt. She should have shared it. Forgive the debt. Until you say they don't owe me anything, you won't be It's a burden. It's when you owe 10 months on your house and the bank comes down by the grace of God and says, look, we're going to forgive your loan. You don't owe us anything. When he says, so there's a reason why he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our
debtors.
Come on.
Amen. That's right.
I'm determined. I'm going to, part two of this sermon is in his book. That's the other side after the glorious church is caught up.
Yeah.
But you got to get
to
the point where you're caught up.
Yeah.
That book comes in to inspire you, motivate you to get to the point that you're part of this glorious church. You're not just in living Waters ministry, but there's some promise sites, as I call them, that are in that church. And there's some people over in China who are in that church. And there's some folks in Japan who are in that church. And there's some people in Hungary that are in that church. And they're all over, and we have one general meeting point, and that's the cross. We have one cleanser, that's the blood, and we all are partakers of this powerful resurrection, so our name is in the book. I'm not unlisted, I'm listed in the book. I've got a placard on the back of the says Charles Smith or whatever he's going to do. I've got a crown sitting on the wall that when I get caught up, it's already made. It's reserved in heaven for me. I've got a mansion. There's a place for me. It's already there. Looks like I'm not going to make it. He reminds me, apply the blood. Apply the blood. Apply the blood. I said, Lord, when I've got a spot, he said, I've got a spot cleanser for you. It's the blood. He said, after the Lord, what do I need to do? He said, go in prayer. Let's talk about this. Come now.
Come on,
we can't pretend that we're hoping God, I got have a cousin, and then you say, I hope God don't come to the house. I hope they get saved today. My body won't get sick. I won't get any older. Every bill I have will be paid. I won't get a new car. I won't get a new house. I don't have to put up with all these people on earth.
Hey, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Where's my brother? Thank you. You know this song, don't sing it. If you don't sing it, Sister Franklin. You know what it is? He was there all the time. She knows it. She knows it. You don't know that? Okay, that's all right. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. In line meaning all those other things you tried before you got to him. He was there all the time. That's the whole song. He was there all the time. When I was acting a fool, he was there. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He did so much better than in line. He was there.
He was there all the time. All the time.
You get it?
Yeah.
While we were trying everything else, and drugs and whatever we were trying, and love lights and whatever, Jesus was there. And what he did was push his way to the front. He just stood right there in line.
Come on, that's right. Oh, wow.
He was there all the time. Everybody look to you. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for waiting for us.
He was there.
Lord, we thank you for the work that you did, Lord Jesus. Before the world was born, that we would carry out your plan, O God. Lord, we thank you that you included us in the solution of how eternity would go, how it would work. Lord, we thank you for how you washed us and cleansed us, brought us out. In the name of Jesus. 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 Maybe you know this. When I see Jesus, hey, when I see Jesus, hey, all of my trials will be over. When I see Jesus, look at this miller. Hey, amen. If you're not sure today that you want to, if you're not sure that you're part of this glorious church, if the Lord is saying to you today, I got this spot.
My Lord.
Then you need to ask the Lord to wash you and cleanse you and forgive you. If you have not come to the Lord at all so that the blood is available for your spots, now is the time. And ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to be in that Lamb's book of life. I want to be a member of that glorious church that's going to be caught up without spot or without wrinkle or without blemish or any such thing. And God is so good, He doesn't ask you to bring anything with you. He'll do all the cleansing.
Yep.
He'll do all the washing. Yeah. He'll do all the ironing you out. Whatever needs to happen, God will do it all. You just need to come and ask Him. And the Lord will work it out. Now, if you're in here, you know, you might need to come for that, but if you're in here and you say, I got the Holy Ghost, well, maybe today you might have a spot.
Yes.
Somebody way back there that you need to forgive the debt. And in your mind, you have already forgiven them, but when you think about them, you still get angry. And when you think about them, you still shed a tear. And the Holy Ghost says, why don't you go make up? And you keep telling the Holy Ghost, but you don't know how to do it. Holy Ghost says that you got to forgive him. You say, I know. And he says again, then if you forgive them, why can't you go speak? And you say, they don't want to speak to me. Well, for that, they have to repent. But you can do it. And go on in God. Father in Jesus' name. Lord, if there be any here today who need them. In here today, in whom the Holy Spirit does not dwell, Lord, draw them down. Give them a mind to say, to ask to be saved. The Lord, your Savior. Lord, let them believe. Cause them to believe on our precious Son, Jesus Christ, and His death, His burial, His powerful resurrection, and the blood that washes away sin. Lord, cause them to believe in His powerful ascension, yes, sending of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, give them a mind to believe in the Word of God like never before. Lord, give my mind like He gave you. Draw them to the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name. Lord, if they don't have the boldness to come forth today, there's a little office around the corner where the pastor sits. Let them be like Nicodemus. I can't come while everybody's watching, but I'll sure show up when I don't think nobody's looking. And Lord, you still see.
Yes.
Yes.
And save them, O God.
Yes.
Wash them and cleanse them.
Wash them and cleanse.
In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory.
All the glory.
Give you all the honor.
All the honor.
We'll give you all the praise.
All the praise.
In Jesus' name.
Holy name.
Now the Spirit said to me very quickly, I need to pray for the sick.